Hey, good morning. So glad that you've joined us. Glad that you're in the room, or maybe you're watching online. Either one, we're glad that you're here. We're going to continue on in this series called The Trellis, where we're talking about how we think God forms you into the person he wants you to be. And this morning, if I was to stop and like take a poll of the room, which would, I understand, take forever and be ridiculous, but if I was to do that and be like, hey, let's talk about what some of the major idols of our day are. Right? If I was just like, hey, let's just talk about it. What are the things that we're idolizing around here? And I'm sure you've got your list. Your neighbor always does this. You're like, man, they idolize the wrong thing. They got a big gator in the front yard and all this stuff like that. And it's easy for you to be like, oh yeah, that's ridiculous. But maybe some of us idolized other things yesterday. I'm not gonna go into that because I wanna keep my job. But you know, like you probably have a list of things that as you look around community, you go, man, that group of people idolizes this really bad. Man, that group of people, that you can tell that's an idol in their life because they give a lot of time, attention, and affection towards that, right? And so just this morning as we jump in, I thought we would start off by talking about what I think are two of the major idols of our day. And that's not really a fair thing for me to do without permission, so I'll just say this. I did a little evaluation of my own life and said, Lord, what are some of the things that I know I idolize? What are some of the things in my own world day in and day out that I would just go, if I'm being honest, that's an idol for me. It's taking up place in my heart that I wish it wasn't. And two of the idols that I would present are probably pretty major in our culture right now, not just me, but I'll raise my hand and say I'm guilty of it, would be comfort and community. Comfort and community. Comfort being the idea, I just want my life to work for me. I just want everything to go easy. I just wish that I could make this decision and it always end up the way I want it to. I wish I could go to the doctor and it always turn out the way I want it to turn out. I wish my kids, when I just said, dear children, they said, yes, sir. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. That's comfort for me. I wish I could just show up to work. And all the emails are like, can we tell you how amazing things are? We could work on that one. But can I just wish comfort? It would be so much better. Life would be easier if comfort, if I rolled over every morning, was like, hello, darling. And she's like, you know what I've been praying about for you today. And like, we just started our day that way. It might, but not regularly, you know. Comfort would be that just my finances, when I check, I'm like, they gave another bonus. Well, how about that? They didn't charge me for that. Praise God, you know, that's comfort. Comfort is when you walk into the room, the people that you see, you want to see, and the person you're trying to avoid, and everyone knows it's not there. Unfortunately for my life, it seems like I'm normally making plans, and when I walk into the door, I'm like, fantastic. Them too. Comfort. For me, at least, it's an idol at times. The other one is community. And what I mean by community becoming an idol is the idea of community is an idol for me at times. What would it be like if I was a part of that group? Imagine if I could just have that zip code. Wonder what it would look like if they invited me. What would it look like if my kids were there? We're so interested in communities these days. It's everywhere. People really desire deep community. And the problem has become is that comfort and community have actually kind of started to wed themselves in some pretty powerful ways, because now what's happening, comfort for me is an idol, community for me at times is an idol, and the real teeth of it get into my heart when a comfortable community becomes my desire. Can I just have a life that works for me with the people that work for me, and everything all of a sudden is all about me? Can it not just be for me? Can it not just work for me? Can you all not just all agree that I'm the center of what we're gonna talk about today? And you're going, that's ridiculous. Okay, I started raising my hand saying, these are my idols. I don't need you to judge me for them. But is there anybody else in the room that you would just go, yeah, when I show up to a room, I go, would you please make this work for me with the people that I like? And sadly, what I want to confess to you is that the church has become guilty of becoming a comfortable community. Of people of just going, hey, can we just surround ourselves with people that look like us? Can you just make sure if you put me into a group of people that we all like, or at least not all the same, but like, let's at least be bending the same direction politically. Could you just make sure I don't have to drive? Their house is like 25 minutes. Could you at least make like sure that they have like good grass? And you're going, that's ridiculous. Not in my heart. Maybe for you, but not for me. Oh God, we gotta get there again. And it's an idol for me. Comfortable community. And so as we start to think about this trellis, RD's been talking to us the last couple of weeks about, so how are we gonna be formed in our day? Like if it is the goal of Christ and the goal of our Heavenly Father to make us into little Christs, each and every one of us, once we put our faith in Christ, if God's saying, my goal for you is to make you into a little Christ, how's he gonna form us? And we started off by talking about, well, truth is what's gonna change you. Reminding yourself, renewing your mind with things that are true, because our enemy hates truth, and so he tries to coerce it and shape it into something that's a little bit more easy for us to digest. So you gotta have truth in your life. And then what we talked about is, and then you take that truth and you put it into practice. They become practices for our life. Not legalism, not believing that if I just go through these steps, I'll be a Jesus follower, but instead going, God, you've said this is true about me. You've said this is true about others. So what I wanna do is put this into practice in my everyday average life. I don't wanna just hear the word of God preached and go, I agree with that. I wanna be the kind of person that when I hear it, I put it into practice. I wanna be the kind of person that says, hey, the Lord has said this, and so I want to do that in the way that I relate to others. Not just in word, but in practice. And so the third leg to this stool that we would call the trellis, and these are really old practices that we're just going back to, saying, how can we be formed? How can we be shaped into the likeness of Christ? It's truth and practices. And then the third one is community. And at a church like ours, everybody goes, yeah, we need community. I need to be in a group. I need somebody. Is there not an app that I can just like put in my name, my address, and you go, here are beautiful people that'll come and bring queso? Is there not a way that we can just make this happen? And some of you are going, no, I'm not, like I would love that app actually. I'm so lonely in this really big room. I come into this really big room and I am so lonely. Like, you're joking, but can you give me that app, please? And the problem with community is we all know we need it, but it so quickly, at least for me, becomes an idol. It so quickly becomes this thing that I go, I want to shape it into what I want it to be. And in our world, the real problem with community is that we are so connection heavy and community light. Right? I mean, we are super connected. I mean, right now, some of you are getting massages on your legs because your phone's just buzz, 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 because you're just getting updates of this is what they said on Twitter, and somebody just liked something you said last night. Your tailgate was the best. And like, so everybody's like letting you know how awesome it was, and they reposted something, and you're getting invitations to lunches that you're gonna have later this week, and people are inviting you to other events that you need to be a part of, and your phone's just letting you know you are popular. You are connected. You are linked in. And you're going, I am. I'm not. And so we're so connection heavy and community light. I've said it so many times, but I meet with so many of you all, and I love it. And when I just sit down and go, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. Me too. But can we find a better way to enter into community than just going, I'm busy, I'm gonna prove to you I'm doing a lot. Connected. And I think what the Lord is inviting us into when we as a church talk about community is just, what does it really look like to be the kind of people that go, we believe that Jesus is true. And we're gonna try our best by his grace to put what the one true God says into practice with our life. But I can't do it alone. I've gotta link arms with some others and say, will you walk with me? Because if I don't link arms with you, I know myself. I will make you, I will make my experiences, I will make my life idols. But it's hard. particularly at a big church, particularly at a church that's really good at truth, particularly at a church where you do see practices happening all over the place. We have nights of worship. We have a lot of fourth and fifth graders on a retreat right now. We have middle school meeting. And so you can just look around and go, man, they're doing it. They're putting the word of God into practice. But what about us? What about you? What would community look like for you to go, God, I want to be more like you. I want to be shaped more like you, even when it's hard. Eugene Peterson is a pastor that I've been reading a bit recently. He translated the Message translation of the Bible. Anyway, he says this in a book called The Jesus Way. He says, we can't gather a God-fearing, God-worshiping congregation by cultivating a consumer-pleasing, commodity-oriented congregation. When we do, the wheels start falling off the wagon, and they are falling off the wagon. We can't suppress the Jesus way in order to sell the Jesus truth. The Jesus way and the Jesus truth must be congruent, must go together. Only when the Jesus way is organically joined with the Jesus truth do we get the Jesus life. So what would that look like for us as a church? To go, man, we've got the Jesus truth. We want to know the practices of who he is and live our lives in the Jesus way so that we can experience a life that Christ would have for us. It's difficult. It's hard. And I want to talk about some ways that we can do this together. But I want to start by going, this is hard. A couple of years ago, Kirk Allen joined our team. He leads our tech team and all the production that happens here at our church. And him and his wife moved churches, which we were approving. And as his wife came here, she just confessed, like, it's been hard moving from a smaller church to a larger church. But it's not only moving from a smaller church to a larger church and new parking and all that. It's as I moved and as I started meeting other people here, the Lord, as he did, revealed some stuff in my life as well. And so for just a moment, I want to share with you Lily's story.
There was multiple Sundays where I, after getting all of the kids in and doing all of the structured stuff, I would think, now, I could just go back out to my car and watch Netflix on my phone, and no one would know. And then I would just watch the time and come pick the kids back up because no one knows me. And I could just run away and hide a little bit and escape what was really going on. I got up, got the kids ready, got myself ready. Kids are whining and I'm trying to get them out of the car. You know, I park further away because it's a bigger parking lot and I've got to walk these two little toddlers in hoping they don't get run over or try to run away. And by the time I finally got into the sanctuary where I didn't know who to sit with, which felt very lonely, I was also just straight exhausted. I was not ready to be in a worship service because I was exhausted and angry and lonely and bitter. And then I'm expected to like sing how great God is, and that's not where my heart was. I'm a mess. So I didn't think I could be a godly woman that was loved by others and God, because I had a picture in my head of what I was supposed to look like, and I was always going to fail. And they're going to see that, and they're not even going to want to have a community with me. I asked myself eventually, well, what have I done to be a community for anyone else there? What have I done that's actually helping me find anyone or help someone else not feel that way? And so I figured, instead of waiting on a waitlist for a life group, do you need leaders? And they told us, yeah, we actually really need another young adult life group leader. And we're like, cool. They didn't need us. Like, God didn't need me to like go and do this or anything, but it's really cool to get to see all these members in our life group who are really dove in and become the best friends and such family members for each other. The exact community I love, I'm now seeing happen in my living room, and I was still stuck. could go from having our life group over and it being such amazing, enriched conversation that was so fulfilling to everybody, including myself. And then like 2 days later, thinking horrible thoughts about myself and really believing them, feeling like I wish so badly I could be anyone else but me. I wish so badly I didn't have to be me. And that is what I really believed. Like that is what I really believed and lived most of my life under that thought, that I am difficult to love, so I've gotta try to make it easier on people. I have to change who I am and fit into what everyone else needs me to be. And it felt really hopeless. If I believed my source of love and goodness is from Christ, then what would be different? Oh yeah, I've been trying to have my goodness come from me, and God likes who I am right this second, and he wants me to grow, but he loves this version right now. My big fear that's been governing my life, my whole life, my big fear that I'm difficult to love because it's not a fear, it's a reality, because we all are difficult to love. And guess what? God loves us anyways. God loves me anyways. That moment, I was flying. Like I felt like I was 800 pounds lighter. I don't know how else to explain. I'm not a good writer. I don't know the words, but I just felt like I could finally breathe. It's not all smiles. Like life is still gonna have challenges. I'm gonna still feel exhausted. I am a sinner and I am X, Y, or Z. The sweetness of the gospel is even in the days that have challenges, he's there and he died for us anyway.
When our amazing communications team said, hey, we have this video or this story, and I listened to it, I said, man, there was so much that resonated in her story with me. I get paid to be here, and there are weeks where I'm like, can I just go to my car and watch Netflix? There's so much in me when I hear her story that goes, yeah, I'm difficult. I'm emotional. I'm demanding. I love things that are strange at times. Like, I bet I need to tamper that down to really be loved. I bet if you were to invite me into your living room, you'd be like, oh gosh, this guy's here today. And I joke about it, and I kind of make light of it, but don't we all in some ways assume that what we bring to the table, others are gonna go, would you please not bring that? But then I also listened, and what I loved about her story was that she was lonely, she did something about it, but it didn't fix the deeper issue. That's what happens so often in Christian community. I'm lonely, things are being exposed in my life, I just need a small group. You do. But community is not Christ. And if we're not careful, good community will become our idol as a church. I just want to find the right people, and we do everything together. And we are inwardly focused. And so I love that she said, so I had this amazing life group, and I was stuck. Because I still believed I needed to change. And if you're in this room today going, I bet to be at a church like this, I need to change. I probably need to polish some things up. I just want you to hear, we're so glad you're here. I don't know what the story is that you've played over in your head, that if they really knew, they wouldn't say that. If they really knew about the sexual struggle, if they really knew about the money and the way we've handled that, if they really knew about the past, if they really knew what Dad did, if they really knew what happened. Not me. And I just want you to hear Lily, maybe a better preacher than me today, say it is true. You're a mess. But isn't that a better invitation to church? Hey, welcome to church. We're all a mess. But God loves us anyway. Hey, welcome to church. You did not do it right this week. That's why we're here. Let's celebrate that a king is saying, hey, I'll revive you. You want restoration? I'm pretty good at that. It's actually my job, and I'm really good at my job. Come on, I'll restore somebody. Oh, you screwed up that area again? Come on, the cross is still enough. But instead, we get in these little neutered communities and go, so what did you read? And I'm not making fun of anything. I want to make real clear here. If you're in a Bible study and you're saying that's your community, praise God. But I do want to differentiate between a Bible study and the community of God. Because you might gather around the Word of God, and that's fantastic. You need that. If you're not studying the Word of God, you're not gonna become who He wants you to become. But if when I say, who are your people? You go, well, I go to a Bible study. That's in the truth category. Praise God for it. But who are the people who you're going to war with? Who are the people that you know you could call and say, it's not gonna work. Come now. Who are the people that are gonna call and go, I don't have an answer? Who are the people you're gonna text and just go, please pray, like right now pray? Because they have to be grounded in truth, but if all they ever do is tell you what they heard in the Bible, they might just be regurgitating truth and not entering your life. I would love for you to keep coming to our church, but if you're just here to get fed, and not to at some point turn towards the people right around you, I'm gonna invite you to listen to our podcast and go somewhere else. The world around us will not handle just Christian culture sitting in rows going, that's true, and not going, and I know what's happening in his life and I'm ready to go to war with it. I know that they're lonely and think they don't fit, and I'm putting my arm around them going, you fit here because of the gospel. In 1 Peter, Peter was writing to the church that had been scattered and they were under persecution. And it's easy for us when we hear persecution to go, oh, that's right, persecution. You know, the Roman Empire was coming after them, and that's true. I can't even imagine. But I want you to get out of your head that these people were only being persecuted by like Rome. I also want you to get into your head they were being persecuted by each other. They were just Christians, just like you and me, living all over the area. And Peter writes a letter to him going, hey, here's what it's gonna be like to follow after Christ. And the persecution's not only global, but it's like, hey, your wife and your kids, it's hard at times. That's a kind of persecution. And sometimes they were in the market and they would make a comment about Christ and the guy that was selling the grain just kind of rolled his eyes. They were real people following after Christ in a real world. And Peter writes this beautiful book to them and encourages them first by truth. Hey, here's who Jesus is. And then he says, this is the way that holy people in our day would live. Practices. And then he says, and this is what the community of God would look like. Community. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter's writing to the church after talking about who Christ is, the cornerstone. And we talk about this a lot at our church because as a church, we wanna make sure that we are being built upon Christ and Christ alone. So we talk about this verse a lot. But I wanna go back to it and look at it specifically about what does it say to us as the community of God. So 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5 says this. So as you come to him, Jesus, he's the living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So Peter's writing and he says, first, it's important that we know that we're doing everything based on Jesus Christ. And then he says, but you yourselves, that's plural. So as he's writing to them, he's saying, if you wanna know what it's gonna look like to follow Christ, it's gonna be multiple people. And we see this all throughout scripture. From the very beginning, God creates, and he says, Adam, man, it's not good for you to be alone. And all the guys are like, that's right, we need women. And it's not just women though. It's that we needed community. Why do we need community? And you could go, well, to procreate and fill the earth. Yes, that's true. But it's also at a deeper level true. Because God was going, you can't fully understand me singularly because I'm not singular. I'm Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I am the original community. So if you're trying to go through your spiritual life going, well, I always go away to this coffee shop and it's just me and God. Or I always go away to the mountains or to the rivers, or I just do it at work or on my way to work, I've got in my headphones and that's me and God time. I'm so happy for you. I'm thrilled with that. But God would say at some point, somebody else has got to be around you if you're really going to understand who he is. I'm not mad. I just really want this to be true of us. We've got so much God in our ears. I just want him in my life. I love this. I love the church gathered. I've given myself to it. But I need Christ and others around me on Wednesdays. So do it together, first and foremost. You yourselves are like living stones. Now that's a word that doesn't even make sense, right? How do you have a living stone? Stones don't live unless you know the gospel, where God says, I can make dead things alive all the time. That's actually who you are. I'm gonna take something that was dead and make it alive. And so the first thing that Peter uses to describe the Christian community is something we can't do ourselves. He said, I'm gonna make something that can't happen possible. I'm gonna take dead things and make them alive. You're gonna be a living stone. And so here's my first, you've got homework this week, which I'm sure you're thrilled about. They're all simple, but they're gonna cost you something. Ready? The first one is this. They're all steps of faith. We talk about this all the time around here. We want you to be taking steps of faith. So I thought I'd give you three opportunities to take a step of faith. Ready? The first opportunity for your step of faith is to look at somebody that you're in community with and go, what makes us alive? Because initially I read that and I said, oh, we can't do that. And it's true in the most worshipful, wonderful ways. Only God makes us alive. But your community is alive to something. And so is mine. Your relationships are alive to something. And so are mine. So my homework for you, your first step of faith this week, is to look at somebody across from you. If you're married, I would invite you for it to be your spouse. And just find somebody and go, hey, let's just be really honest with each other. What makes us alive? Like, what makes this little group of people alive? And then maybe over time, expand out to like a circle of friends. You're going, hey, what makes us alive? Like, what's the thing that we find life around? Now, I do not want this to be a judgment time, but I do want this to be an honest time. It does you no good to be like, Jesus, oh, you too? That's what I was thinking. Let's finish our sushi now. Like, JC said we should go on a date, honey, and I'm so glad we did. Jesus, okay, let's keep going. Like, that does you no good if you look at each other and go, the word of God, the people of God, the spirit of God, let's just pray right now. I guess it'd be a weird date, but like, it doesn't help. Be honest with each other. Wouldn't it be better to sit across from somebody that you love and go, hey, what's making us alive right now? And then go, football. Football, like, it's what makes us alive, man. You bring it up and we both like perk up in a way. We're like, oh my gosh, we got a week off. I'm picking on you, T. Like, we got a week off. It's not wrong, it's honest. And wouldn't one of the things that describe a living stone that's based in the gospel be honest? Could the church lead the way of going, yeah, we'll raise our hand first. We haven't been the most honest people in culture. We've played a game and like buttoned up and come together and be like, praise the Lord, oh my soul, everything's amazing. And the world's going, it seems like, okay, if that's what you're, that's fine, play that game. So wouldn't it be better to sit across from somebody and go, hey, what makes us alive? Our finances. And we talk about them all the time. And when we do, both of us, our hearts just, our kids. Man, you talk about our kids and it's all we do. Would you be so brave this week to sit across from somebody you love and just say, hey, what makes us alive? Maybe you can't do it this week because you've got some other things that make you alive. So I'll give you 2 or 3 weeks. But find a time in the next couple of weeks to sit across from somebody you love and just say, hey, let's be honest, what makes us alive? I'm not telling you to cut out all those other things. That would be ridiculous. That would be legalism. That would be a thing that the church has tried to do for so long, and it's ridiculous. We're whole people. What I would rather us do is sit across from people and go, hey, what makes you alive? Man, traveling, good grief, I love. Every time we talk about it, our wheels start, blah, 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 and it's like amazing. And be like, that's great. Hey, how can we bring a little bit of the aliveness of Christ into this? I'm not trying to say we shut down sports and finances and our kids and all the things that we love, but how can we just pepper in and like let it be the base note of everything else of going, man, we want to be people who find life in Christ and love sports. We want to be the kind of people that are at our base. Grace defines everything for us, so we are going to be so invested in the life of our kids. Why would we not be? Man, we want to be the kind of people who are so sold out to truth. We're going to be in the local schools, and we're going to be so excited about it because we know, man, we know truth. We've got truth. We're going to be the kind of people that are here. But we're alive first and foremost because we understand what God's done in our lives. It would be a step of faith to just go, hey, let's be honest with each other. What's making you alive right now? If somebody confesses something to you, don't judge them. Yours is just as bad. You just like it more. So be gentle. Seems like that would be one of the characteristics of a living stone that believed in the gospel, that they'd be gentle with each other. I'm just going, oh, really? That one's not on my list. That one doesn't make me alive at all. But I can see how it does in you. You yourselves are living stones being built up as a spiritual house. What would be the definition of a spiritual house? It would continue on being a living stone. It would be built upon the characteristics that make something alive. Truth, hope, love, grace, mercy, righteousness, holiness. Can we agree as a church that what God is building when he says a spiritual house is not just a brick and mortar thing, because he calls it a spiritual house? It is extremely possible that many brick and mortar buildings that we call a church are not spiritual houses. It is possible that your living room, when you're sitting in a circle in a life group, you've got all the right ingredients, but it doesn't make it a spiritual house. Again, I'm not judging, I'm just asking, can we go to a better place together of going, hey, just because we all kind of like shake heads and nod that you love Jesus, I do too. All right, that's great, we're Christians. Some of my biggest mistakes were because I was in a Christian community in high school and college that we all kind of looked around and went, you're in, great. Then I'm gonna tell you this joke, it's completely inappropriate, but we all know like I love Jesus, right? Hey, we all love Jesus, right? So one more is not gonna hurt anything, right? We're all good, right? Yeah, we're good by grace. But if we put Christ in front of us, would he not say, hey, there's a better way to be a spiritual house? So what would define a spiritual house? Freedom is experienced and confession is regular. So are you in a spiritual house? Is freedom being experienced and is confession regular? Now, I want to be very careful with confession because some of you might be like, all right, let's go. All right, when do we get in as a life group? I'm not telling you that you confess everything to everyone. That would be unwise. I don't know your whole life group. I don't know the people you're doing life with. But if there's never a time that you don't have a place where you confess what's going on in your life, I would submit to you it's not a spiritual household. If you don't have some place where you can go and say, hey, I'm not kind of like a little bit known by you, I am known by you. You may not have experienced the freedom that is Christ, and you might love our worship, and you might love our teaching, but I'm telling you, if you want to experience the power of God in your life, find somebody that's safe to sit across from and go, can I tell you this? Can I trust you with this? And I understand in a room this size, many of you would say, I've tried that, and it backfired majorly on me, and I will, as a church, say, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that that was used against you. But please don't let the enemy set up shop in your heart and say, so therefore don't do it ever again. Because there is freedom in confession. There is power in confession. And that would be a spiritual house. Can you imagine just in this room, if we started offering little spiritual houses to people in Knoxville? A place where freedom was found and confession was regular. Do you not think our world would go, what is happening there? There is freedom and they know about each other's stuff and they still invite them in. Can you imagine what our culture would do with a bunch of people that go, he's so worth it, I'm not gonna try to hide who I am. That's why he had to die. Of course I'm gonna tell you, again, within wisdom. But it leads to such freedom. So many believers, myself included, for so long, walked around going, I'll clean myself up one day and then I'll tell my story. Because that's what I wanted, was the dramatic story. But you know what I loved about Lily's story was that she's like, I'm still in process. I don't know about you, but I'm like, I want to go to your life group. I'm not pushing you out at all. I'm actually like, would you come share with me what it's like to follow after Christ? There are, very small, like maybe two people that if you invited them up onto this stage and Rick and the elder said, hey, we need to talk to you, JC, we found out something, I would link arms with and say, they know too. And I don't tell you that to like boast or anything like that. I tell you to like say, I'm trying to live it out myself. And there's not a bunch. I know a few people, but there's a very few people that would stand up here and I'd go, whatever you're bringing against me, they know too. Because I've got to have a place in my life where I go, hey, I'm struggling with this. Hey, this is hard for me right now. Hey, would you pray for me about this? And I'm never like, yes, get to talk about this again. Never am I like, oh, this is gonna be awesome. But I always at the end go, praise God that I sat across from somebody and they didn't leave. You know what that is? That's a physical reminder that God won't either. And maybe you're going, how do I find that? How? Is there an app for that one? It's long and it's slow and it's hard. But if you wanna be a young adult who one day has those people in your life, you've gotta start cultivating that in your life now. And if you wanna have a marriage that's free and not bound up and like ought to's with each other, you gotta start cultivating that in your life. And if you wanna have a circle of friends where you go, man, we feast together, we laugh well, we love each other, but we also know we're not perfect. You don't just show up to that. You work at it. And you have freedom and you confess. Why do we do that? So that we can become a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood would be the people that usher in the presence of God. So the reason that we turn to people and say, hey, what makes you most alive? And then my second step of faith for that spiritual house is just to ask yourself, where are you finding freedom and where are you confessing? And just find somebody. The reason we do those things is so that we can be a holy priesthood. We can be the kind of men and women who usher others into the presence of God. Many of you will sit in boardrooms and sales meetings, classrooms, living rooms that I will never be invited into. But because you've got other believers around you, you can go, doesn't feel like my title, but I'm a holy priest in this place. And I offer Christ to others. Last spring break, my wife and I were on spring break with our kids. And one night we gave them some freedom just to kind of do what they wanted to do. And we came down from our own little date and we saw another family that we knew of, but we didn't know well. And we sit across from them. They said, oh, come on over. We're on spring break. And we're like, oh yeah, here we come. And so we sit down with them and one couple's just kind of like talking, whatever they do. And then this other lady's like, oh gosh, well, wow, whew, wow, you're here. Okay, well, y'all are here. And and she's just like started kind of like nervous chatter. Have you ever sat in one of those conversations? You're like, I cannot wait to see what's about to come out. She's like, well, okay. So you're a pastor. And I was like, yeah, I am. She's like, okay, well, I grew up in church. I love Stephen Curtis Chapman. And like she started going through all these things. And I was like, fantastic. She's like, you know, and I've always felt like, okay, do you know this person? I was like, I do know that person. She's like, okay, well, I know that person. And like just started like this nervous chatter. And she's like, and so anyway, I just want to let you know, I didn't know if I need to explain to you why I drink sometimes. And like, it was just like this beautiful, like sitting at a cantina on 30A. And I was like, this is why I went to seminary right here, right? But she basically just talked for a little while. And she said, hey, but I feel like I needed to tell you, I do love God. It's just harder now. It's just different. And I was like, fantastic. Our kids are back, we gotta go. It wasn't that brief. You're like, you are a terrible pastor. It wasn't that brief, but it was close to it. And that has stuck in my heart for so long because it felt like in that moment, I wasn't a preacher, pastor, fellowship guy. I was just somebody in 30A, sitting with somebody else who's going, man, I want to follow after God. It's just harder now. And so my wife, as she's prone to do, broke the ice and kind of said, hey, we get it. No worries. And I just wanted to look across at her and go, hey, yeah, me too. I want to follow Jesus too. It's just hard at times. So I need other people around me. So your step of faith in this area is just to ask, Lord, where might you have me usher others into the presence of God? Not in some profound, I slipped a track under their keyboard hoping they'll find it and ask questions. Halloween's coming. You don't have to have crosses everywhere. I mean, if you want, don't do that. But maybe just in a real way go, God, how could I offer my everyday life to a coworker? And Lord, how could I look at the people that I do call those who are close to me and go, hey, let's make sure we're alive to the right things. Let's make sure that freedom's in this place and that somewhere I'm confessing so that I can help, by God's grace, usher others in to the presence of God. See, when you take truth and you take practices and you take community, well, God calls it the church. And Jesus promised us nothing's gonna stand against that. It's gonna have a lot of different variations and it's gonna look different in different places. But if you'll have the word of God, the truth of God, and you'll put it into practice in your life and you'll have other people surround you, God promises there's nothing that's gonna stand against that. Whatever you're struggling with, he's like, I can redeem that, I can renew that. Whatever's hard for you right now, he's gonna bring that to me, bring that to them. We can do work with that. And we'll restore some things. We'll make things new. I'm gonna invite the team back up just to close and just let that be our prayer. Maybe for some of you, as we're singing and closing, you could just say, God, what is it? Who is it that I need to go to and just say, hey, I need to confess something. Lord, what is it? Like, I don't wanna be unevaluated on this day. Like, what is it that makes me alive? God, help me not feel judgment in that. Help me find freedom to go, okay, that's how I'm wired. But Lord, would you make true life come out of you? Lord, would you make me, even someone like me, new? He can do it. Lord, we love you so much. I love you so much. And I thank you for what you're doing and for the way that you're making all of us into your little Christs. It's a work that will continue for the rest of my life, but I confess I want to do it better. You're worth following, Jesus. You're worth surrounding myself with other people who will go, JC, you can do that better. You're worth having other men in my life go, you're a good man, you just forgot. You're a good woman, don't forget. So Lord, make us those kind of people. We love you so much. We pray all this in Christ's name.